So, we're doing copyright. So, let's now start the side of copyrights. Up to now, we've been discussing halakhas where there's no copyrights, just people create ideas. Let's now discuss a case, a shayla like this. Somebody has invented a product, and that product is an animated character. Part of the animation is that he created a voice for the character. And he put it under copyright, the voice.
Like Mickey Mouse.
Like Mickey Mouse. You want to compare it to Mickey Mouse. So, somehow, he starts hearing a similar voice in his mind being used to advertise certain products. And then he investigates, and in fact it is actually the voice which he created is being used by somebody else. So he takes him to Beis Din with a claim that you're not allowed to use that voice in his gezel, and therefore you have to refrain from using it and pay me for any use that you've got out of that voice up to now. He admits in Beis Din that it was the voice which he took. But he said that he didn't copy it. What did he do? He listened to it and recreated the voice himself. So it's not like he took the material and made a photocopy or recorded it. He had the knack of, or he hired somebody to knack to listen to that voice and recreate the same type of voice.
Took it apart and put it back together again.
That's what his claims are based. Okay? We have to accept his claim as it is, and not say that he's a liar. We want to analyze it to be his claim. Has he got out of the problem of copying some of these products?
That's like reading a book and retyping it.
Yeah? Or going to somebody's house, analyzing the structure which was created by the interior designer, not taking anything, and just remembering it, and putting down all those details himself on the piece of paper. We said, is that a problem or not? To take the paper was a problem. But now we're talking about somebody who doesn't use the actual material itself to recreate something. He just looks at it, analyzes it, and comes up with himself copying the same product. Now, let us analyze, what is copyright? It was under copyright. What does copyright mean? Copyright means, in English, we're going to talk what it's trying to do, what it's speaking to us, and then we're going to analyze it halakhically. Copyright, what does it mean? When I sell you a tape or a disc and I say it's copyright, what do I mean by those words?
You don't have the right to copy it.
Which means?
That's copyright.
No. Why it's not the same? Okay, somebody else?
You don't have a right to reproduce the same product. Your end result can't match what we have here.
Okay.
No, you just copy.
Copy, I mean, are we going to make a distinction between making a mechanical copy versus a human being making the copy himself? In other words, somebody redrawing it from memory.
Yeah,
or rewriting it from memory.
What does
is that any different than putting it into a photocopy machine?
Okay, well, but that's what we're discussing. But what does the word copyright mean when, according to, they write copyright, what does it mean? What does it mean?
I don't think you're allowed to make copies of that.
But I am I'm selling you this product. This product is totally yours. However, you have no right, even though it's totally yours, to go ahead and take it and copy it. And reproduce it.
And it will usually say on the copyright page that it's illegal to copy this mechanically or otherwise.
Okay. So therefore, does that work halachically, such a condition? This, I'm selling you totally that it's yours, you can do what you like with it. However, there's one thing you can't do, that is to go ahead and copy it. Does such a condition have any halachic basis that it works or not?
Irrespective to the
Sholem Aleichem. Irrespective to the Sholem
Aleichem.
Okay. So you're suggesting that it's a condition of the sale. What happens if you break the condition? What's the halakhic status when you break the condition? If you're saying it's a condition, it means I'm selling you this on condition that you don't copy it. Okay. So what happens if you copy it? What happens then?
You give back the product and you keep the 100,000 you copy.
So what happens? No, what happens when you break the condition? If it's a condition. No, what happens if you break the condition?
Break the sale.
The sale reverts. Okay, so what happens? I give back the original, and you have to give me back my money, and I keep the copy. So wonderful! Everyone should write copyright, because the buyer gains, because what can he do? He actually copies it. Then he's got what he wants. Now he has the original disc which he bought, and he gets his money back. Wonderful.
You had no choice to use it to copy it.
It was never yours. Fine. So then I have to give it back.
No, I have to give it back. Now in a copy, because it was never yours to copy. But she does. Whoever's doing it, I own it now, so I can make a copy.
Fine. So the what's the rebuttal mean? Don't. No, it doesn't say that. No, it says that this disc, which I'm selling to you, you're only allowed to keep the disc if you fulfill the condition, which means not to copy. As soon as you break the condition, you have to give back the disc. I copied you out of me.
Isn't there usually damages? Liable for any damages.
Damages is a different issue.
No, I'm saying usually that's what they say. They say you're liable for any damages or from use of this copyrighted item.
Damage
to the person that...
How about damage to?
Because I could have sold this disc to this person if he would want to store it legally.
You can still sell it. Here, give it back. You can sell it back.
No.
What damage?
Isn't there a copyright as an additional condition holds the buyer liable for any damage?
So no damages here. What damages have I done?
Lost revenue.
What damages? How I damaged you by copying?
Because you lost sales.
What? Who? Who have you lost? Who have you lost?
You.
Me? I wouldn't have bought it again.
No, but you're
going to
resell those copies to other people.
No, I'm not going to resell those. I'm copying at home. For my own
use. He's going to keep it for himself.
Oh, for private use?
Yeah, for private use. Let's go with that. Now.
Right, you're allowed to copy a disc. If you're not, as long as you don't give it to someone else,
we'll get there. Let's say I actually give it to somebody else as a present, or I give it to somebody else for cheap. Another person would never bought it for the real price, so therefore the original company hasn't lost anything. Because they never had a customer, because he never bought it for the original price.
So there might not be a problem.
So there's no damages.
That might be okay.
Okay.
Let's say
not under copyright.
Halakhically,
saying if it's a condition, then what he does, he gets the copy, he gives back the original article, and he gets his money back, and fine. Nothing wrong, halakhically. So, we don't want to interpret it as a condition, because it defeats all purpose. What copyright
is. Let's say I didn't buy the disc. Let's say I stole it from you and I copied it. Would I not have to destroy the copy or give you back the money for it?
What do you mean still? Still the disc?
Yeah.
Now, so how else can we interpret it to make it maybe have halachic basis? Copyright. Let's learn it like this. It's not a condition, but it's like this. You're the owner on this item for everything besides copying, where you're not the owner of it. I haven't sold it to you for copying rights. I am still the owner on copying rights. You can am the owner on everything else, but for copying, I'm still the owner.
Does that help me?
Yeah.
It's not tonight now. It's what we call Chazal Shir. I'm holding back ownership.
Okay, but
on that aspect, so now we have to analyze.
So I illegally made a copy. You're saying I can keep it?
No, because if you now, that means everything that is copied is mine. According to that, yes. According to that condition, everything is mine.
But you said even if I stole it off your Danyum paper.
No, if you now say that I am the owner for all copying and what comes out of the copying.
You can't say you're the owner for what comes out of the
copying. Yes, I can.
It's not yours.
I can
say. It's not yours to begin with. How could you retain ownership of something that doesn't belong to you? How could you retain ownership of something that does not belong to you?
Why?
My thing that I copy from it never belonged to you.
No, I am the owner. Look, you're copying.
You're the owner of any right you may have for copying.
So now you have stolen
it by copying. But you don't have a right for copying.
Now you have stolen it by copying.
What,
and
have,
therefore,
what have I stolen?
You've stolen the right. You have stolen the item.
Right, you so I'll give it back to you.
No, this item.
Which item?
The copying item.
Why did I steal it?
Because that was the, I hold up ownership of anything which...
But there's no... Without the Shalomation, there's nothing
no.
there.
No, why about the Shalomation?
There's nothing you own. There's nothing you own. There's no mamash.
I own, yes.
You own the CD.
I own the CD, correct.
Fine, so here's the CD back.
No, not the CD back. You can keep the CD because it's still yours. You haven't broken any condition. But any copying is
yes.
mine.
It's copying is nothing that you can own.
I have the right to copy.
A tangible object is copying.
It's like selling a chicken
yes.
to someone and saying that you'll keep all the eggs.
Fine. So you've been over by Gezel by copying, correct?
Yes, I have been over Gezel.
So therefore you may you have to do Hashoba. How to do Hashoba on Gezel?
I give you back the CD?
No, the CD is yours.
Right, so then before when I said if I steal it off your dining room table, why is it any different? I've been over on Gezel.
No, so that you stole them the icicle, so you can give that this icicle. What have you stolen? We're going to discuss that. What exactly you stolen, but you've stolen, and you have to do a hashom. Okay? Fine. Now, is that halakhically binding? To say that I've given you ownership of everything, so much so that you can even take a sledgehammer and break it to pieces and I can't do anything about it. But I retain rights that says you are prevented from copying, because in respect to copying, I am the owner. Is that halakhically binding or not? So the Gemara says like this. Well, let's see it. Rabbi Meir says, Kol hamavi adas shabalabais nikre gazlan. If the balabais tells you to do something and you go against his rotsun, you don't do what, listen to him, then you're called a gazlan. Why? What's the example? Hanosin dinel oni likechlo chaluk. You give money to oni and you say to him, I'm giving this money to you, it's yours. But you have to buy a garment. Chaluk, you have to buy it. With this money you have to buy a chaluk. Lo yikach bo talis. He's not allowed to take the money and buy a talis with it. If he says talis, he can't buy a chaluk. Because you're going against the rotsan of the original owner who gave him the money. We call a mava das balabais nikle gazlan. If you don't go according to the conditions of the balabais, then you're called a gazlan, says Rameh. So we see from this Gomorrah, as Mephoshim explained over here, that avada the oni, the money belongs to him. As soon as he gives it, it belongs to him, that even so much so that A, he has a debtor, the debtor can take away that money away from the oni. Yes, because the oni owns that money. So what's the original owner who's already given up ownership of that money doing? He's saying, this money belongs to you. If you can do what you like with it, so to speak, under limitations. What limitations I give you is that the only thing, if you go to spend it, you have to spend it on a certain garment. And if you don't, then you're called a gazlan. Why called a gazlan? Because I'm the owner of this money in respect to how you choose to buy it. You're limited to buying another garment. So we see there's such a thing, according to Rameya, of holding back ownership just for one type of matter. It's decision of how you're going to spend the money. I'm the owner of how you spend the money. And if you break that, then you are a gazan, because that belongs to me, and you're now stealing it by not listening to me, because I'm the owner of how you spend the money. Now, why is it not the same thing?
Giving somebody something in order that he should do something with it. I'm giving you this to do something with it. It's not selling him something.
So you didn't listen correctly. That's why I said specifically that as soon as the money comes into his hands, even a bachov, a debtor of an oni, can take that money away because it belongs to the oni. You're not doing according to what the guy wanted. Yeah, so we see from there that the money halachically belongs to the oni as soon as it's in his hands. And the only thing is that it makes the saying is that I'm the ownership, that when you go and buy something from the shop, then you can only be done if you buy a chaluk. That's the only thing. Not that I'm the owner calls money, you haven't spent the money. That's what you're trying to say.
No, how could you haven't spent the money? Because I've given you for a purpose.
So what does that mean?
I'm giving you I'm
in. So why can a barcode take it? Why can a debtor take the money?
Because it's money.
What? No, whose money does it belong to? Whose money does it belong to? Whose money does it belong to? Who owns the money? Who owns the money?
It's not ownership. It's just giving it to you to do something. I'm not talking about ownership.
Yes.
I'm giving you, I want to buy you a book.
Who owns the money?
No, I'm giving you the money to buy the book.
Who owns the money before the book is bought?
So tell me.
Who owns the money before the book is bought? Are you trying to say the money belongs to the person who gave it? Colesman, the book hasn't been bought.
He's giving him the money and he has to buy the book. You're telling me he can't take other money and buy the book? He can't take other money and buy the chaluk?
Halakhically, it's a whole business to do that. Yes?
There's
a whole halakhic business where you can do that.
He takes the wrong coin out.
There's a whole.
Why is a chaluk? Is it ganuk?
It's a whole halakhic reason.
It's
a whole halakhic reason. It's a whole halakhic reason why it works.
Is he or isn't he a ganuk?
No, because he can exchange. Exchange. Exchange, because there's no hot cross on exchange. There's money for that money.
He's got a skill to do that exchange continuously.
Yeah, he's got a skill.
Because he's giving him the money for a purpose.
Fine, so what? Here's also, I'm giving you for a purpose that you can't copy. So what's the difference?
That's not giving you that you can't copy. That's not giving you for a purpose. If you tell you that I am giving you for a purpose, and here I'm selling you something I want to limit your use. It's not the same thing. It's entirely different.
Now you're saying something. A bit of chokhmah comes out of it. Mr. Shem will get that till next week. Is it the same as... Yes, it is fair. Is it the same as limiting someone's use as defining that, you can only do it for something else? Negative rather than positive. We'll discuss it next week. Finally, something came out. Okay. Now... So, we call into a man, we see you can do such limitation. Okay? But the problem is, Rabbanan argue. Rabbanan, we don't paskin like Rameya. So if Rabbanan argue, why do they argue? Is Peshat why they argue is because they hold you can't do this, you can't split it up like this. You can't halakhically split this up, given total ownership, but for this one thing you can't. If that's true, that means halakhically, according to halakha, you can't, copyright won't work the way we want it to describe how it works.
When they say you can't do it, you have scattered ownership.
No, it means that the ownership is totally his, and he can buy talus, or can buy a talus.
Yeah, so you can't put that.
You're not, he's not a gazlan if he doesn't listen to you. So, Shulchan Aruch in Yerodei site says like this. Mi shesorech lebrius. Somebody is desperate, and he needs to be supported by the public. So he goes around collecting money, door to door. For Nosan no stalker, somebody gives him money. Ain Baale Chovas Yochim Lehafriya Lehafram Imash Gova Bistoka. The debtors of that oni receive that money at the doorstep, cannot get hold of that money. They cannot take that money which the Oni owes them as a debt. They can't get hold of that money which was given to him as stock at the doorstep. Says the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef. Why? Because when somebody at the door comes for stocker, I understood I'm giving money to help him eat and drink and clothe himself. So therefore I'm saying to him, this is your money for all those aspects, but not for Bali Chovis. I don't want your debtors to get hold of it. That is understood what I mean when I give money to an Oni at the doorstep. An unspoken condition. And therefore, debtors can't take it, because it's gezel, because it doesn't belong to the Oni in respect to the a debtor taking it. Says the Vilna Gaon over there. I don't understand the Shulchan Aruch, because that's only true according to Rabbi Meir, that you could do such a thing. That I'm giving you the money and it's yours, but for this it's not. It's only Rabbi Meir. But we paskin like Rabbanon, and according to Rabbanon, you can't do such a thing, says the Vilna Gaon. So what do we see from here? We see from here that according to the Shulchan Aruch, halachically, it does work to make such a difference. You're the owner for this, I'm the owner for that. But according to the Vilna Gaon, he learned that the Rabbanon held you can't do this. So what's the halacha? It seems to be that the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon are arguing what Rabbanon holds. Does Rabbanon hold it that doesn't work? Which is what the Vilna Gaon seems to imply. Or the Shulchan Aruch says that yes, it does work. Now, according to the Shulchan Aruch that says it does work according to the Rabbanon, how does the Shulchan Aruch learn the Gemara that says that's only according to a Meir that you can say Talus and not Chaluk, Chaluk and not Talus? But according to Rabbanon it doesn't matter. What's the difference between the case of the Gemara and the case of the Shulchan Aruch? That I would like your input.
Difference between Talis and Alpas. In other words, in the case of the Talis, it's yours, but it's Altanai, then you're going to use it for what I want to use.
What do you mean by Altanai?
It's on condition. In other words, it's yours.
But if you break the condition, what happens? Then it goes back.
No, not that it goes back, then you're a goslin. You used it for something that I didn't want to use.
No, yeah. What do you mean by condition, then?
In other words, you only have permission to use it for this.
Yes, and
okay?
That's
by the case of the honey knocking yes, on the door,
yes.
I'm giving to you al das that you're going to use it to eat. If you're not going to use it to eat, I'm not giving it to you. I want it back.
You want it back then?
Yes.
So what you're saying is, halakhically, the case of the Shulchan Aruch is a tanai.
No, not a tanai.
I get it back.
Not
it's only yours as long as you do
I'm
this.
I'm only giving it to you.
That means it's only yours if you do this. If not, then it's mine.
So give it back. I'm only giving it to you because I think you're going to use it for XYZ purpose. If I knew a debtor was going to go after it, I wouldn't give it to you.
That's what we call mean a toss, a mistake, which is like another word for condition.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a condition.
Definitely being given money in both cases. Maybe in one case you think asked be a shalich. I'm giving this money to buy something.
When you
buy it, sure.
No, because that's not the Mefarshim learn in both cases that it belongs to the Oni as soon as he gets it. Just in one case it belongs to the Oni, but he can buy what he likes. He can buy chaluk talis even though he was told specifically only chaluk. But in the other case, the balakovas can't take it. What's the difference?
Maybe it's the opposite of what he was saying. Maybe the first case is not a tznai. The first case is more like a copyright, the way we explained it originally, and I'm limiting ownership.
Yes.
And therefore, it doesn't go back to me, it's just a gazel. The second case, though, which is the tznaka, that will say it's a tznai, and if you break the tznai, the money actually goes back to the giver.
Then you're saying the Vilna Gaon didn't understand the Shulchan Aruch. Some, the Shulchan Aruch meant one thing, and the Vilna Gaon said it's the case of the Gemara. You're saying it's different.
No, those are saying it's very differently.
Yeah. If somebody knocks on my door.
Yes.
Company is in money.
Yes.
I give him money.
Yes.
And then I find out he has $100 million.
That's a mistake.
Does he not go there?
That's a mistake. That's a mistake.
It's not a mistake. It's subterfuge. It's at least But there is no question that he owes me the money back.
So you're saying that's the whole kasha of the Vilna Gaon, it makes sense. The Vilna Gaon is kasha.
That makes sense. I see why there's a chilek.
Okay, you're saying there's
I side with the Beis Yosef.
Okay. So the Ritva in Bar Mitzvah says like this. Rav Meir Omer, Kol Amar Vadas Bal Bais is Nikka Gazan Pirish. I feel it permitted to let a Kepeza even on types of conditions where you could hear that it really doesn't make a difference in the eyes of the one who gave the money. You know, the guy gave the money and he said, go buy Chaluk. And you can hear that if you ended up buying a talus, that really he wouldn't mind.
So the narrative case where you change.
And therefore, says Rameh, you're still a gazlan, even though there's room to interpret that the words when he said chaluk was chaluk is what I thought you needed. And talus, okay, you can also do talus. But still Rameh says because you said the word chaluk, you can't do talus. But we're bottom the hold. Since there's room to interpret that when you gave the money, you said chaluk, it meant, because I think that's what you need. Ended up, you worked out that talus is better for you. Okay, good day! Go buy a talus, I don't care. There's no kafeta if you buy chaluk or talus. There, Rabbanu hold, you're not a gazan. But if it's obvious that the person who's giving it is clearly mafid and doesn't want it to be used for the other purpose, then even Rabbana would agree that you'll be a gazan not to follow these instructions and use it against the rotson of the person who gave the money. And therefore, when somebody gives stock at the door, says the Shulchan Aruch, even Rabbana agree, because there everyone agrees that the person giving the money for sure doesn't want it to be used to pay debts. He wants it to get enjoyment out of that money and not just use it to pay off the debt. And therefore, even Rabbana agree, because there it's like obvious that he doesn't want it to be used for the other purpose. Unlike the case of Gomorrah, Chaluk and Talis are not so obvious.
But in the beginning you said that the debtor can come in and grab that money.
Yes.
Against the objections of the money.
That's
so then you wouldn't be a gazlan, right? Because it happened without his tikkunos. I guess it's honest.
Yeah, that's what it wouldn't be. A, yes,
but the debtor is still permitted to grab.
Yes,
money,
the debtor.
And he doesn't have to pay.
He doesn't have to pay. No, because there wasn't a case of collecting money at the doorstep.
No, I'm talking about yes. Collecting money at the doorstep.
No, okay, case of the Gemara is not.
If you collect the money at the doorstep, the donor had in mind that it shouldn't be
the debtor comes in and grabs the money. He can't take cash. He has to give it back.
So which case?
He has to give it back.
It was the case of the chiluk that the debtor comes in and do it. It was the case of the chiluk where the debtor was allowed to come in.
Yes.
But there, it's clear that the guy is not going to debt or shouldn't take it. He's got to use it for his
own. He doesn't mind a ton
of dollars or a chiluk, but not to pay off his gambling debt.
That's a good question. I'll explain it off this one.
And many collectors come to your door with a letter telling all their debts.
What?
Many collectors come to the door with letters saying all their debts, so would that change their
Yeah, that's it. That's what the law says. If he knows that he's got debts, and he says, I've got lots of debts, when you give the money, he knows he's going to get the debts. That's right. So we see from here the way the Shulchan alerts that even Rabbanan agree that if you speak it out or it's so obvious that you don't want to use it for the other purpose, then it's Ma'akiv and you can't use it for the other purpose and you're called a gazan if you use it for the other purpose, even according to Rabbanan.
So what's what Rameh says? Why can't I use it if the guy doesn't care?
Because like Rameh says, the level of...
Maybe he does care.
Just going against. No, that's the whole kiddush Rameh. I call a mother, that's my advice. So my advice thinks that the chaluk's good for you. You go against what he thinks.
Somebody
then
ask him.
Yeah.
Ask
so, him okay, go and ask him, fine. That we're not talking about when you ask him. Okay. Not asking. Okay. And therefore now we understand the psak of Moshe Feinstein when it comes to tapes and copying tapes. It says like this. Number 4. With all the airports, you also take Medivrei Torah. Somebody makes a tape out of Medivrei Torah because of Sha'osa Lashes of tapes, Shlo O tapes. And he writes on it, like copyright, that is also for you to make tapes for my tape. Who even show the case because it's something that's money in my eyes. Mela, kiven shu chotzer ein roshay liker goser the sun is kosher b'shus. You can't do attribution. But after shalosh shomer menu, and even if you don't actually hear him say, don't make, that he doesn't give permission, shein roshus osel an atik menu, you still osel to copy it, even if he doesn't spell it out. Because kol zman shlo hosh b'feresh, if he doesn't give you specific permission, it's osel to make copies. Because he assumed that when you make any mistake, even if he doesn't say it, mean it, speak it out, it's in automatic implied, don't make another tape on copy it. Yes. Avo, last says tape after tape effort, Shlomo Shush, who is a gentle. It is a gentle to do such a thing. Ah, you're saying it's a mayor? No, because according to what we're learning is that even Rabbanan agree that you can own buyers from it, you can keep back ownership in respect to making copies, and therefore if you do make that copy, you're over the Issa Gezel, and that's what copyright means. You're over the Issa Gezel if you make a copy from it.
Okay. Well, you're over the Issa Gezel, but that's not right, because you're dealing with a tangible object. So I can't use that object in my copy.
Yes.
But if I listen to it and stay...
So far we've learned a tape which has copyright, and even if it doesn't have copyright, it's intrinsic that I don't want you to make implied that I don't want you to make copies. If you do go ahead and make a copy, it's ghetto, because I'm the owner in respect to making copies, even according to a bond. That's what we learned up to now. Now, what is going to be with us? What's going to be with us in respect to the case of I didn't copy, all I did is had an expert come and listen to the voice and I recreated the voice myself. I didn't take what you'd had and copied it, I recreated the idea myself without copying it. What's going to be with that? So let us discuss another Shaila in Beis Din and try and relate the two together and see if they're the same and come out with a conclusion. Another Shaila comes to Beis Din. There was a teacher. She's teaching special special ways of techniques of understanding, training people with her own theories that she came up, and that which is unique in her business. Okay, it was actually in the dentist industry. Okay, a certain way of approaching dentistry. So she had these courses, and one of the conditions of these courses was that you're not allowed to take my information which I give over in the shiur and pass it on to other people. You have to keep it for yourself. Some member of that shiur did not listen to that condition, typed up all those notes, and sold them to other people to get hold of that technique as well. So that's why I didn't respond to your email. He sent me an email in the week. Now, up to Beis Din, it caused extreme damage, obviously, to the person who gave the shiur, because it's now no longer unique. And it's out there. So she has a claim that you damaged me by passing on information, and you weren't allowed to do it, and you're a gazan for doing that, and that's her claim. The person answers back and says, well, yes, that was a condition, but I didn't take something of yours and copy it. I listened to it, put it down myself, and passed it on. Is that come under the issa of copyright or copying or taking somebody's or what something you own? I didn't take something of your own. You didn't own any. So, how do we look at that? So let me now show you a shulchanach, and then I want you to respond. Is this these two cases now we're discussing comparable to this shulchanach? Ein odom makne l'acha bein b'mech b'matana el adovah sheish b'mamish. You can only transfer ownership on something which is physical. If it's not physical, you can't transfer ownership of that item. Avdol v'shein b'monish ain't kin l'nitfas. It doesn't work to transfer ownership of something which is not physical. Ketzat ha-milcha v'hikna lo'av v'chatzeo l'achnis v'zomin l'adkum. Somebody sells air. I sell you the air of my house. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The house, the transfer doesn't work. Because air is something not physical. Can't. Just the air of my house, you can't do it. Says the Rambam, okay, we see from here you can't transfer ownership. What happens if you steal something which is not physical? Are you over the Issa Gezel? Says the Rambam, shofar sho'ola, a shofar which belongs to Hetish. And you take that shofar without permission and blow it? No, you talk about, you're not allowed to blow it. Bin toka, but if you do blow, yotza. You have the kind of mitzvah of shofar blowing. She'ein b'kol din me'ila, because the noise, which is what you're stealing, doesn't have the halachas of stealing, because the Rambam speaks out, because it's something not physical. There's no issa gezel by something which is not physical. Coal is something not physically tangible. Therefore, you're stealing that coal. There's no issa gezel by it. What do we see from here? That something that's not tangible, not only you can't make kinyonim on and transfer ownership, you don't own it either. You can't own something which is not tangible either. Because if you can, why shouldn't there be gezela?
So that I can't sell you the egg, future egg production of my chicken?
Yeah.
That's not considered a valid sale.
Wouldn't be a valid sale. Not only that, you're not saying it's not a valid sale, you're not the owner of it, so if somebody takes it without your permission, he's not over it, it's a gezel, says the Rambam, if it's not tangible. So now, if so, we're saying that anything which is not tangible, has, you have no ownership over. Ainbo Mi'ila means there's no Issa Gezel. It's the same Rambam, it carries on the same Ainbo Gezela as well.
Didn't steal the shofar? Took the
shofar without permission to steal? Yeah, the shofar's stolen, but he's stolen the shofar. Now, tell me, if so, that you can't steal anything that's not tangible, then what's the why by tapes can you not copy? Let's go just back to the simple case of tapes. What are you stealing by the tapes? Something tangible, something not tangible. What are you stealing by the tapes? The tape's tangible, but what are you stealing?
I picked it up and I put it in the machine. I wasn't allowed to do that.
I was allowed to put it in my machine and turn it on.
What?
I own it. I'm allowed to turn it on. And I turn it on and then I bought the recording that type, that records it. What am I stealing by tape? Why is it any different from the photographer last week? If we're saying that there's a Rambam that says that something's not tangible, not only you can't do transactions, you don't own it so much so that somebody steals it, it's not called a gazlan. So what's the shot in the tapes that we say you, Rav Moshe says, you're gazlan for stealing. What are you stealing there? Something tangible, not tangible.
If you create something, it belongs.
Fine, but, says the Rambam, only if it's tangible. If you create something not tangible, then it doesn't belong to you yet. It's not tangible. No, can't have ownership of something that's not tangible.
There's no creation. The sounds and the air is not something you created. Whereas the what's on the tape is something you created.
You're not taking anything away from somebody over here from the future, sir.
It's not something anybody's done.
Taking the noise.
You're not wearing out the finishing off the flow.
You're not taking anything. What are you taking away from the tape?
What somebody created.
But the Rambam doesn't say the reason why that's not Me'ila, because it doesn't belong to the shofar. He doesn't say it doesn't belong to the shofar. He says no gezel because it's something which is not tangible.
Diminishing is still not using the tape.
What does tangible mean, so? What?
The tape is tangible.
The tape? So what am I stealing from the tape?
I am stealing the tape. Forget about from the tape.
My effort, my time.
I'm using the tape in a manner that I'm not allowed to. I'm stealing the tape.
I'm not stealing the tape.
Yeah. I am stealing the tape.
Is the rubber composition in? Is the rubber considered tangible?
Where it's grown. That's definitely not tangible. So your book, I understand. What about tape?
Whatever's on the tape, somebody's made it.
Yeah, but it's not tangible. The book, I understand, is words there. Yeah?
So there are little magnetic pluses and minuses on the tape.
So there's a Rashba. Let me tell you a Rashba. It's not in there. The Rashba in Gittin. It says like this. You can't sell a cow to somebody just for the rights of, you know, if it gets stolen and then you find the gunner and the gunner then has to pay double, then you'll get the double. You can't sell a cow for that. Be careful. Doesn't work. Yeah. He says why? Because it's not tangible to sell that. Zuchus, so to speak. The cow is. I'm not giving you the cow. I'm selling you the right to collect double money from the gunner which comes along. That you can't do, says the Rashba. It's not tangible. But, says the Rashba, you can sell the airspace of the house. What's the difference?
What do you mean the airspace?
Yeah, I can, look, I've got air here, and I'm giving you rights to put in the air. You can put in that air, you can build a crane and put something in that air, if you want. Not the house, and not the chotzer, but the air. I'm sending you the air.
No, it's not the air. You're selling the space. It's not the same thing.
The air, when I say space, I mean the air in line with my apartment, which I own. I am giving you rights of the air. You're not allowed to touch my chotzer. Not allowed to move into it. I'm giving you the rights to those air. Says the Rashba, it works. What's the difference? That's also not tangible.
Well, that's very similar to somebody who steals a sukkah by taking the owner and throwing him out and going into the sukkah.
Fine.
He's not taking anything that's tangible.
Fine.
He's just using the space.
So, why is that? Fine, you made the cinematic, but why is that different from the case of the kettle?
One exists now, one's in the future.
No.
The air is an extension of real property.
Ah. Says the Rashba, the house is different. Because one of the uses of the house, which is tangible, a natural use of the house, is also the air.
So what is the chauffeur? Is
therefore, it's an extension, the non-tangible element, the air, is an extension of the tangible element, which is called the house. And since I own the house, I also own the air, which is an extension of the use of the house.
Why is that different than the chauffeur? The chauffeur makes a call.
No.
You own the voice that comes out of the show.
No.
It's not an extension.
No, it's not an extension. So therefore, but the kettle's got nothing to do with the use of the cow. That's nothing to do. That's something completely nothing to do with the extension of the cow. So therefore, the Rashba's tellings are something very clear. When the non-tangible element is connected to something tangible which you own, then you also own the non-tangible elements as well. You only don't own non-tangible elements if it's got no connection to something tangible. Okay. So, therefore, let's now analyze our cases based on that concept. Let's go now to the tape. Is the music on the tape like the case of the kafel of the cow which doesn't work? Because it's non-tangible and not connected to the cow? Or is it like the case of the chotzer, where the air is connected to the chotzer, therefore you own the air, so also you would own the music? In what way do we define the music in respect to the tape? Is it something connected to something tangible or not connected to something tangible?
Sounds more like the chauffeur to me. They're both making sounds.
Forget the chauffeur.
Doesn't sound at all like the chauffeur. have a physical object that's making noise.
It comes out of the...
No, because it's not making noise. The noise is built into it. The shelf is not like the tape at all.
What about a guitar or a piano?
A guitar, would probably be like the shelf, but the tape is not like it.
Yeah.
Because it's connected.
It's connected.
It's the airspace.
Okay. Everyone agrees?
No. No.
Music is not the same.
I think it's something different than
you.
It's something new than
yeah, go on.
With the house, the air is an extension.
Very good.
Fine. So you're buying the house or buying the air? Yeah, I'm not exactly buying the tape. I'm buying the music. That's what I'm buying.
You're saying you ignore. Yeah, okay. He agrees with you. You and me, he agrees with you. Okay, you're saying it's wrong. Okay, so all clear. Very good. I agree with you.
But the chauffeur too, you made me want the more the call.
That's the whole mitzvah.
It doesn't matter.
You made the chauffeur.
Yeah, it's hard. Some glass or that the house naturally when you buy a house, that air is going to come with the house, and that's right.
You got to make the
car. Exactly. So therefore, it's even more than the house. Eric is saying that the whole tape is only for the music. So for sure the tangible is something that's so connected to the music that you can't separate the two, and therefore it's what you own the tape, you also own the tangible. Okay? Yes.
You can make the space something tangible, but without any potential.
You can now
with the tape.
If you have an
empty tape, the Rashba doesn't say like it. The Rashba doesn't say that to Mishapin the air. He says the air is not because you couldn't make it tangible. He says not tangible, but since it's connected to the tangible thing which you do own, and it has a relationship to it, so therefore you can have ownership on non-tangible in such a case. Okay. So now we said tape's very good. Now let's go on to our next case. The case of the shear. Somebody was giving the dentist information, giving out all that information. He says, I don't want you to take down this information because it's proprietary. And somebody does, and he takes it down. I didn't actually copy anything of yours. I just listened to your shear and wrote it down myself and passed it on. Is the shear something tangible or not tangible?
Yes.
Is it tangible or not tangible?
I don't understand the guy's question in the first place. What is the guy's kind of?
It's like the tape.
What is he trying to say?
He's trying to say,
I paid so I could sit in front of you for 2 hours. That's not what he paid for. He paid for the information, which he said, I'll give you the information, you can't use it. He took the information, he used it.
What information did he take? A tangible information or non-tangible information?
Tangible. It was related to something.
It has value. Value,
no, value doesn't define tangible. Kepler also is valuable.
Nobody gave you the Kepler. The person's giving you the
Kepler. What?
Why is that the airspace?
Because the airspace is considered non-tangible, but since it's got a relationship to something which is tangible, which you own, you also own the non-tangible. It has to have a connection to something tangible to have ownership on non-tangible. So, when somebody gives the shear over, is that any connection to anything tangible there?
What do you mean by tangible? It's the intrinsic essence of a whole transaction.
So we're saying, does the transaction have any basis in halacha? Yes, that's what you want to do. Of course, that's what we are doing. But we're saying halacha to be halakhically valid, that what you want to restrict the person, you have to say, if you're giving me non-tangible information, something non-tangible over, do you actually own that you can restrict me? And we say only if it's connected to something tangible. Can you restrict me? Yeah, is the voice of the person going over shear something tangible or not?
The person's tangible.
No, is it connected to something tangible?
Maybe with their books, with their... Where does this information come from? From this teacher?
From the teacher, not from something that is published.
He hasn't got any notes.
No.
But the teacher's a tangible being. He's a physical person, so.
It's not something that is...
Why is it not a different show?
Why is it not a different show?
It's
So, that's not what she's giving over.
She's not reading from something.
Yeah, but it's an extension of what she's giving over. So it's the same as the house. The airspace is an extension of the actual house.
It's not connected to. It's connected to the notes. It's not connected to the notes. It's connected to her that's coming out of her mouth. So over there, it's not connected to anything tangible.
I don't have to pay you for the lessons, it's not tangible.
So okay. Fine, so you have to give back the money because you broke the condition.
But correct. It can't be like that.
So yeah, you can give back the money because you broke the condition of the shir. Correct. Yeah. You give back the money. Fine, but I've sold your notes for $10,000 already.
The information must be what you call tangible.
Right. So therefore, somebody gives a shir. It's something called not tangible, and for somebody to copy that, it's not an issur gezel, because the person who gives it over, as soon as it leaves his mouth, he doesn't yet own it. When it's flying through the air, he's not the owner of those words which come out, because it's not a tangible owner, something which you can own.
What about the
shalom issur? About the shalom. We'll come, we could put it in the shalom issur in a second.
What's the difference between when he gives it in a shir or he writes it down and says read it?
Because then I'm selling you something which is tangible with something which is not tangible.
It's not tangible. You just get a piece of paper.
Piece of paper is tangible, yes.
But it's just a piece of paper. It's good.
Yes. Doesn't matter what you're interested. If it's a vote of ownership, you can have an only ownership if I'm giving it's connected to something physical which I own, then I can also own the non-physical aspect of it.
Well, why do,
do I own my mouth? Anything comes out of my mouth, I own it. Same as in my house, in the air, I own it.
According to last week we saw, according to Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, no you don't. You don't own. You don't own your house. Your mouth. No.
Why is a person not tangible? I weigh more than this paper weighs. So the paper's tangible. Why can't I say I'm tangible?
Because you. Piece of paper. Do Chazor of last week. Share and that answer your question. Yeah? Now.
So if you have ideas and you say to me, give me a piece of paper so I can write it down, I say, here, I'll lend you a piece of paper so you can write it down. It's mine now because I only lent you the piece of paper. So I own everything now.
We'll see whether that's true in a second. Yeah. Now, so we come to the conclusion that the case of the shir is not tangible, it doesn't have ownership, somebody takes it and copies it, he's all over it, it's a gezel. There's another chasam sofer that gets around the problem, is that you're over the issa of not paying the wages. Okay? Part of the wages was not to give me money for the shir and not to give it over to somebody else. Okay? That's how you get around it, according to the husband. But as far as it's a gezel, it's not it's a gezel. It's a different issa. Not it's a gezel. Because it's not tangible. Now let's go to the last case. The case we started with. The case of somebody created a character and to that character he created a voice. He copyrighted that voice, which means he held back ownership on the voice. Somebody went and copied that voice, not from the object. He listened to it and created the voice himself. Is that something tangible that we can say he's stolen something or something not tangible?
Based what you said, no.
Based what I said, no.
Yeah,
no. No. Everyone says no. Okay. You're all wrong! Because you're not thinking! Hear me, come on, wake up, hear me! Come on. Have some coke. Why? What are we saying over here? We're saying the tape is tangible because it's connected to the tape, the music's connected to the tape, and therefore you own the music and that's getting. We're saying somebody gives a shir, the words that come out are not tangible so he doesn't own it, and therefore you take that, it's not getting, but maybe other problems. Okay. Now we're talking about somebody created a voice. And you went and heard it and copied that voice.
Same mouth that was used to give the shir.
Created a voice.
Could be the same person.
Yeah, it could be the same person as yours. Created Mickey Mouse voice. And you say, you steal the Mickey Mouse voice. You're saying that's not guessing. what you're saying, so obvious, obviously compared to the other cases you're saying, so obvious. Not obvious at all. Okay.
Because it's a physical character? Because there's a physical character associated with it?
No.
Not so. No.
First of all, he's a cartoon character. He's not a physical character.
You never read the Disney World?
Okay. So, the answer is like this. Why does the Rashba say that you need to have something physical which is connected to the non-tangible to be own the non-tangible? In order to have ownership of that non-tangible item, you have to be connected to something tangible which you own. Why does he say that? Not why he says that. How does it work? There's two ways to learn how it works. You think of these two ways to learn. Non-tangible, you can't have ownership. Suddenly, if you connect it to tangible, you can have ownership. In what way can you connect it? So, running out of time, so I can't give you time to think. So, one, very good.
That only works if I actually own the house, though.
One explanation is, look, I can't get ownership of that non-tangible because I can't physically make any transaction on it. But if I connect it to a tangible item, as soon as it's connected to a tangible item which I do own, then by owning that tangible, I can also own the non-tangible. It's now mine.
Yeah, but I'm not owning it.
Now it's now mine. As soon as it's connected, I can make that transaction.
When I buy airspace in your house, I'm not taking the tangible.
Another explanation is to say, no, Kozman, that it's connected to the tangible, is also called tangible. If the non-tangible is connected to tangible, it's also called tangible, and it's still connected to the tangible. Yeah. But as soon as you disconnect it, you no longer own it. So, according to the two ways you learn, has enough committed by us. If you learn that you can only own it when it's connected to tangible, as soon as you disconnect it, you can't have ownership over it, then the case of the voice, as soon as you disconnect it from the tangible item, which was the recording, which he did, so therefore, now, you can't have ownership over it anymore. It's no longer yours to own. You can only own it once it's still connected. If it's no longer connected, therefore you can't have ownership over it, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem of Gezel for me to listen to a voice and then me to make it up myself. But if we say that you can have ownership of a non-tangible item even when it's disconnected, because you just have to get ownership over it. The only way of getting ownership of it is to make a kinyan on it. How do you make a kinyan on it? You attach it to the tangible, make a kinyan on the tangible. Now that's made a kinyan on the non-tangible. So even if you disconnect it, you still own the non-tangible. And therefore, according to that, the call, the voice, once you connect it to the tape, and now you own the tape with the voice, even if you now separate the voice from the voice is still mine, and now you're taking that voice, it's Gezel.
The voice is not connected to the tape. The tape is only a record of the magnetic pattern. It becomes a voice from my speaker.
No.
It's not a voice in the
tape. Like you said, the tape is...
The voice is not on the tape.
Why is that not like you created?
So
you put the voice on the tape. The tape you do own because it's physical. So now you, by owning the tape, you own the voice which is non-physical. Soon as, therefore, if you disconnect it, I still own it.
But it's still
tangible.
I didn't disconnect.
What?
I made my
own. No, the whole concept of the voice I own, the non-tangible voice I own. Says Yashiv, and here we're finished. Therefore, it's a machlokus. So you have to be machmir, because of the machlokus. And even according to the opinions that says that you don't own. No, because the issa over here is different.
The issa, but the issa.
So as you do the action, lachila is awesome, not to give it, we're not talking about giving back, to do the action is awesome. But since there's such a thing as dinner machlokus and dinner, that says that you can also own non-tangible things And that's the minhag to go light to the Malchus HaDinah in these aspects. So therefore, according to the Malchus HaDinah, you always own non-tangible things. Yeah, what's the difference? Like you said at the beginning of the shiur. If you own it because of a halacha, not dinner, malchus hadinah, then it's always yours, le'olam ve'ed, and your children for dorot dorot, it belongs to you. But if it's only because of dinner, malchus hadinah, then it's only yours as much as the law gives you that right. And therefore, when the copyright expires, people can copy it, even without your permission, and they can also, according to the laws, copy it for their own, even within the time limit, they can copy it for their personal use as well, if you go and buy dinner, malchus hadinah. So therefore, there's a nafka minah, if it's halachically yours, it's always yours, you can't do anything to it, or if it's copyright law, then you can only, you can put limitations for the copyright and no more. And therefore, over here, it's limited to copyrights, and therefore, any time you put copyright on it, says Rabbi Yashiva Nabachidish, you mean you're now giving them extra benefits. If you wouldn't write anything on it,
you're protected by
halacha, le'olam v'ed, and your children, and no one can do anything to it, and no one can do anything at all. And no one can even take it for their personal use either. But as soon as you put the copyrights in, you're saying, I'm giving you leniencies of copyrights. And therefore, you're now got heter. But that's what you're doing, right?
I'm not, I'm saying I'm giving you stringency.
No, no, you have to spell it out. Next week we'll talk about taking away somebody's clients. Copyrights on clients.
You mean you can record clients in the business? It belongs to you. You can go to a concert and record it and you can use it.
No, if they're saying that you can't, if it's at the copyright, you can always record it. Copyright law allows you to
record it. No, but I have to put it in a locker. You can record it.
No, because once it's on the tape, it belongs to you.
Recorded it, put it in the pocket, then give the shoe again.
That's it.
Then it belongs to them.
Yes.
And that's what they needed to do.
Yes.
Well, you have been in the Marcos Sabino, and 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 you have been in the Marcos S